Well, it's 2:36, so we can get the party started. Some folks will roll in a little bit later here today. Welcome, everybody, to this week's Petri Dish. We're really excited to have Dr. Gladys Smith, one of the WashU therapists, to come and really help us understand what even you need to do to make an appointment. Like I was just asking her in advance, what do we need for referrals? Kind of all of these things that maybe are creating a barrier to even taking that first step of contacting the mental health services here at WashU, which are phenomenal. I know many people that have used them and have always recommended them. So let's, you know, focus on what we can do to make it so that more people take advantage of these services. As always, this is very informal. You can have your cameras on or off. You can chime in with questions if you have. But if this is a topic that maybe you're a little bit more sensitive to, at any time, you can ping me in the chat and I will relay the questions to Dr. Smith, and that way you can be an anonymous viewer. This will be recorded and put online for ever, pretty much. So if you don't want your voice on here, I completely understand. I think people are going to be tired of hearing my voice after some point. So, but with that, we can get going. And Dr. Smith, would you like to give yourself a little intro?
Hello, I'm Dr. Gladys Smith. I've been here at the university maybe since 2017. And then before that, I worked at down the road a bit at Webster University for 16 years. And in part of the time that I was serving there for 15 years, I was in the military. So I retired from the military. I did 14 years active duty and 13 in the reserves. And so I was a medic, hospital corpsman. I'm a graduate also of WashU. I did the behavioral studies. Used to be in building 4444. So I did the Master's of Health Science and went on and got another master's. And then I ended up getting a doctorate from California Southern. So my focus is health and mental health, combining the two, because I worked in the ER and I worked as a paramedic and I worked on the wards. So the medicine part I love, you know, and the research part I love as well. And then I love the counseling. So I combined all of them and I became a trauma therapist. And I use EMDR, somatic resourcing. I use cognitive behavioral therapy. I just love counseling and I love the body and I love helping people breathe. So I teach meditation as well. And so, like I said, I've been here 3 years now.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm very excited to have you help us understand what it is to access mental health care services at WashU, because I know that they're really good and DBS students at any point in time should feel comfortable taking the steps to access mental health, but I've definitely heard some conflicting instructions on how to go about doing that. So I'm really excited to kind of flesh it out and make it even more clear so people feel more comfortable doing this.
Most definitely. Let's do it.
So how, I mean, I guess this is kind of a broad question, but how would you go about making an appointment with mental health? Is it a phone call? Is it an email? What's going on here?
Actually, it is both. Right now, if you're making it, and probably going forward for the rest of the year, it's better to just go on the website and email one of us, because we're not in the office. We can't answer the phone. And then sometimes, if you're at WashU long enough, you figure out, oh man, the phone system isn't working. Something's wrong with the phone. And so it goes out a lot. And people will leave a message. I say, I left a message and didn't get that message. So emailing a provider is the best way. And so a lot of people find that that's so intrusive. But no, that's the better way, because then we can look at our schedule online and give you an appointment right then and there. So online is the best way right now, because we're not in our offices. And we can negotiate the time. We work with your time. Very easy to make an appointment. And if one provider, they don't work with your schedule or can't work with your schedule, there are three of us, myself, Dr. Smith, Dr. Michael Thomas, and Dr. Lee Wertman. And so we all have worked in student health for some time, at least 10 years. I think Lee has worked in student health for like 20 something years, and he's been here a very long time. He was part-time here, and now he's full-time here. And Dr. Thomas has been here, I think maybe 10 years and 12 years. So, you know, we have a lot of experience. We love doing this, and it it really pays off. It's the hardest thing to do sometimes because people have that stigma, you know, of mental health. But, you know, everybody has issues. Everybody has something to work on, even if it's just having a big ear, someone else to listen to what you need, you know. But what do you think? Do you think that that's good? You don't have to be in dire need of counseling to come to counseling. It could be a question. You might want, you're maybe thinking about, well, gosh, I do need to change how I do relationships. I've had the worst relationships ever. You know, why do I keep picking the same person over and over? Any one of us can help you take a look at yourself, probably by doing the attachment style quiz and then finding out what your love language is and talking about your past relationship. It's just as simple as that. But the thing is, we don't make the change. We offer, you know, an array of things to help you make a change. And we don't make you do anything. We don't force you to do anything. So anyway, all of that about making an appointment.
So you're providing toolkits.
Yes.
It sounds like.
That's it. And for individuals that have been in therapy before and that have had previous counseling, we're an extension of that. We can be continue with services. The most thing that we see people for, probably at the medical campus, is one of two things. Sometimes imposter syndrome, that's up there at the top. You know.
Oh, I feel like that's.
I'm not good enough, you know. And it's tough walking around with that feeling, that core belief of I'm not good enough, because everything that you do, you feel like you got to do it over the top. The other one is anxiety and then depression. Anxiety off the charts. And self-inflicted anxiety that goes along with the imposter syndrome. But many people have had those diagnoses for years, and we can follow up with that. And my particular specialty area that I've worked a lot in and trained a lot in is trauma. So any type of trauma, and almost anything could be trauma. Now, we all have collective trauma right now. We have collective trauma, and we have collective grief. So I've helped a lot of people through this period, because once you've been traumatized, the statistics show, the research shows, is that you have a 50 to 75% chance of being re-traumatized from something else. And you just set yourself, if you're set up for it, it just happens that way. And they really can't find in the research what that is all about, but it happens. And so we give you tools. I like what you said. We give you toolkits. And for the trauma treatment, I take you through, I may do EMDR, I may do some narrative work with you or some artwork with you, whatever is going to help you get to a resolution phase so you can be your best you. That's my goal.
So you talked about kind of specialties between the providers. Mm-hmm. How do you go, if I've got to send emails to one of you, how do I go about picking the right person?
On the website, our bios are there. You know, we're under the faculty and staff site. There's our bios, and it talks a little bit about who we are and, you know, what we do and, you know, what we're interested in. And it's a short bio. We need to update them so that people can see who they want. I read your bio, and I'm not really sure if you're the one. What we try to tell people to do is don't make your decision after the first session, because the first session is really goal setting and finding out. And that's about 45 minutes, maybe 45 minutes to find out what it is that you want. And then if that person is going to be able to help you. And then if you're going to make a decision on whether to see someone, give it at least 3 appointments, because then 3 appointments, just seeing that person to just see if it's going to work, if the goals are going to work, if you're compatible. But typically, you know, the first time, oh, okay. And then, when you change, or if you decide to change a counselor, you're like, oh, it didn't work, we don't fit. You just tell the therapist that you saw first, oh, it didn't work, and I'm gonna try Dr. Wertman or Dr. Thomas. But what we don't want you to do, because you're not gonna get treatment, and that's typically what we do, our human nature, we get in our way. So we'll have an offsite counselor. One person did this. She had an outside counselor, she had a counselor on campus, and then she was seeing 2 people on campus, and neither of us knew, because of confidentiality, we don't discuss the, you know, what happens. Each clinician keeps their records locked, double locked, and, you know, we don't share information, and we don't share information with upstairs. That's why we're in a separate location. We're in the Scott building where student health is, but we're on the first floor and they're on the third floor. So it's almost like separate entities, so that you have a measure of confidentiality. But the initial question was, making an appointment, or you make an appointment, and then how to select, is that you look at the bios and you kind of choose. Everyone has their own site listed, or own area of expertise, or what they like to do listed, and you just select from there.
So if it's something as maybe general, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but general as like anxiety and depression, mm-hmm. there's nobody, I would say, that when I looked at the bios that were like, I focus mainly on anxiety and depression. So in that case, maybe you just pick and give it a shot. Is that kind of what you would recommend?
Why it's not like that is because, aside from whatever we specialize in, we all treat depression and anxiety. And so, like, for trauma, I don't just treat trauma, because I wouldn't be useful for the university if I did, but I know 1 in 5 people have had a trauma. Is that we're all general therapists, but there's some measure of interest. It's just like your research emphasis. You're a general scientist and you have emphasis in one area, but we all are trained in depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, general counseling altogether. And because I also serve as the campus sexual assault advocate, if there's something that happens, of an impropriety, a sexual harassment, sexual assault, anything like that, I'm your liaison to the main campus, to judicial services. And so, we have a layered of things that we do. So if you have depression or anxiety, you can pick anyone. You could pick any one of us and we can help you through. Some will use insight oriented and it'll say in their bios. Some will use cognitive behavioral, and some would use just general psychiatry and take you through that process. And when you meet with that person the first time, you can find that out. But what's interesting is when you email us, remember email, when you email to make an appointment, you can ask the person a question. It's not like, I need to make an appointment, and then, one line. You can say, my name is Joe Johnson, and I read your bio, and I saw that you work on these. I'm looking for someone with anxiety. It looks like we might be a good fit. Can you help me with anxiety? And then whoever the clinician is can respond, oh, yes, I work with anxiety. This is how I work with anxiety. Maybe we'll be a good fit. Come on in at this time. Are you available at this time? So when you send that initial email, tell them what you're looking for and determine probably in that email if that person is going to fit for you, because they may be more structured. And you're not a structured person. You need a little bit more creativity. So you find out in that initial email. We will email you back.
We got a question. Can you explain the differences? You mentioned cognitive behavioral and some other thing that I lost, but so what are the differences?
So cognitive behavioral therapy looks at your thoughts and your beliefs, and then it looks at how that makes you act. And so it's more manualized than some of the other treatments, but what's interesting is a lot of the treatments that we use fall under cognitive behavior. There's prolonged exposure therapy where you listen, you talk to the clinician, you listen, you make a tape of something that happened to you that's disturbing, and then you listen to that tape over and over and you use extinction. You can guess a lot of people don't like doing that one. They don't. But the easiest is cognitive behavioral therapy, because you look at 10 different ways of thinking. They include things like all or nothing thinking, using should statements, negative prediction, discounting the positive. So you look at 10 maladaptive ways of thinking, and then we help you unravel how that makes you think and then how that makes you feel. The second one that I mentioned is more of a trauma treatment, and that goes along with the third one that I'll talk about in a few minutes. The second one is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, and that is used for trauma survivors typically, but research now shows that you can use it for anxiety and depression as well, especially, and I tell you that I know that if I didn't know it before, I certainly know it now with the COVID, what has gone on. Oh boy, so much anxiety and depression because of this. Will I get it? Should I get it? This person got it. Am I going to die? What's going to happen? I'm off from work. I'm afraid for my family. I'm afraid for my mom. I'm afraid for my boyfriend. I'm isolated. So we use Francine Shapiro in 1987 developed eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, but she realized that it really should be called eye movement because eye movement really is a part of it where you follow the eye, not hypnosis. But what it is, it's sensation and movement across the corpus callosum of the brain. So to change the message that the hypothalamus gets, so when it sends it to the amygdala and to the prefrontal cortex, it's calm. It's to activate, you know, parasympathetic dominance. And so it really has worked because it is one of the CBT's methods, because what your thoughts are can be changed. You know, the neurons that fire together, wire together, and you do that. You do the same thing over and over, brush your teeth the same way, you know, that whole thing. Well, what we try to do is open new pathways. I'm not afraid. I don't have to be afraid. That's just a book that fell. I don't have to be afraid to be in social situations. I'm not the worst person in the world. So we train you with, some people are very good with doing the eye movements and they follow that because it, you know, the thought, you bring up a negative thought and then you bring up a positive thought. Go back to the negative thought, go back to the positive thought. And we do what's called pendulation and titration. We help you change the brain wherever that emphasis is. And so that's a little bit about eye movement desensitization. Sometimes we'll have people do this, any movement that crosses the corpus callosum on different sides. And so it really is, you should look, if you're interested, look it up. It works for so much. It's EMDR, Francine Shapiro, all of you scientists out there. And it really is the most effective for anxiety, depression, and trauma.
So we got another question, which was fantastic, and I can't believe I didn't think of it. How long is it usually to get an appointment? What's the turnaround time for that?
Oh gosh, that's the hardest question ever. Oh my God. Typically, it's no longer than a week, from 2 days to a week. So like people will call on it's so funny. People will email or call or text because our phone numbers are on there too. Once you email us, our phone numbers. So we take text too. I love text better than anything. So they'll call on a Monday and they're like, well, I'm available tomorrow at 3 and then the next day at 4. Well, the people that made their appointment last week, they kind of have that taken up. So you might be able to get in on Friday or you might be able to get on Thursday, but typically not the same day. I'll be honest with you. I call it civilian land. I'm so used to being a military person. But out in the regular world, it's the same way. Our wait time is very much shorter because it's about 5 to 7 days. Like if you call on a Monday and you can't get in, we can get you in the next Monday. We might be able to get you in on Friday. There's never like a 2 or 3 or 4 week wait because that is up to you though. Because sometimes people are like, well, I want to see one specific person. Now, you know, we see occupational therapy, we see physical therapy, we see research students, we see medical students. You're probably not going to get in that same day unless it is an emergency or a crisis. But you are not going to wait longer than a week because if one person cannot get you in, Dr. Wertman or Dr. Thomas or myself can get you in. So the wait time is anywhere from 2 days to 5 days, I would say, 2 to 5 days. So two Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 2 to 7 days.
So would you say that, is that like you can always use someone else? Is that if you were already working with a therapist, you would switch or would you normally stay with the same therapist?
No, I'm not to tell you to do that because you're really not getting a service because you're starting all over with another person. And in Missouri law, you're really not able to see more than one therapist at a time because of continuity of care. And then this person is insight oriented and this person is cognitive behavioral and you got the insight. And then you're really not getting your problem solved because you're going back and forth and you're listening to two different people. So we want you to see one person at a time. And that's a learning process too, because many times, you know, if you go in the bookstore, the largest section is the relationship section. We don't know how to have relationships. So we try to emulate that and to show you that you have to have a beginning and an end to every relationship that you're in. If it is not working, you are not following and guiding through your treatment goals, it is okay to say it's not working. We're not, I want something a little different. So to work with another therapist, you have to end with that therapist and then start with a new therapist. That way your claim. You don't have to worry about it. And it's so awkward. You go in the waiting room. You're like, oh, you know,
it's like a weird, you ghost break up somebody.
Right. You can't do that. You can't do because we're there's the waiting room and it's not that big. Well, right now you could, but maybe you wouldn't know. But
right.
Because we're, you know, looking in these little windows. But, you know, I live like that. Like, I work with a lot of people in recovery, worked in addictions for years. And so one of the things that they say is, you're as sick as the secrets that you keep. And that is so darn true. You try to keep all these secrets and, you know, walk around. And who wants to walk around clandestine and looking around the corner? Is she there? You know, is he there? Just end it and move forward. We have thick skin. We get it. We understand. But, you know, I want people to understand, too, is that don't get in your way. Don't get in your way because you don't like everything about that person. Heck, you don't like everything about yourself. So why would you want to like everything about your therapist? We're not going home with you. We're not going to have dinner with you. We're there to help you. All of us have a purpose. And that is to, like I said, you know, help you be the best you so you can, you know, shine, do your work, get your research finished. Right. We're not forming that whole deep bond, you know, and cognitive behavioral, you know, one of the things that it says is that what you think of me is none of my business. We're here to work on this treatment plan and get you going. So you have to be careful. It's not that type of thing where you're forming this. You are forming an intimate relationship. But you know what? You can disagree with someone. You cannot like them and learn a heck of a lot from them. Oh, my God. Because what happens is you're focusing on what you need to focus on. You're not focusing on anything else. So the relationship, of course, the therapeutic alliance is very important, but you can have a therapeutic alliance with someone that's different from you. You know, because you're white, you don't have to see a white person. Because you're brown, you don't have to see a brown person. It doesn't work like that because every person is different. Every style is different. And you may find that you sometimes need to challenge yourself. You know, challenge yourself. And the other thing is get out of your own way. We all have to get out of our own way.
Okay, so a question that kind of leads right into that is, how do you decide if you need to see a therapist?
When something keeps coming up and it keeps getting in the way, somebody, you keep having the same relationship. Why do I keep dating the same guy? Or man, that's my last boyfriend said that. Or you keep hearing something over and over again, a question. People will say, why do you do that? When your life is disrupted in any way, it's probably time to go see a therapist. And, you know, what's interesting, that's like the best question is because, you know, people think that because you see a therapist, you're going to be seeing a therapist, you know, laying on a couch. We do have couches, but you don't have to lay on the couch. Analytic. We're not going to ask you. We will ask you about your mom and your dad, but we're not going to ask, you know, free association or any of that. None of us are psychoanalytic, by the way. But you may only need 3 appointments or 4 appointments just to get some coping skills. And on the first day, that first 45 minutes, we decide that, okay, so what is it that you want? And what's the frequency you're looking for? What are you willing to do this work, to change whatever it is? Well, I say, and I try to tell people, yeah, do 3 appointments, but if you really are going to work on what you need to work on, give it 6 sessions, we reassess it. So what happens is that for me, and I think the other therapists do it well, but everybody does do it as well. Everybody is different. But I see people 3 or 4 times the initial time, and then we see each other every other week. Then we see each other once a month, and then you do what you need to do. Because my goal is to give you skills, practice the skills. Like the first session is the assessment. The second, third, and fourth is working on stuff. And then every 2 weeks or so, come in. How's it going? Did you use the somatic resourcing? Did you do the deep breathing exercise? Did you take walks? Did you do a thought log? So then you get to check, oh, okay, I have done those things, or I haven't done those things, and then I'm so glad we're not meeting every 2 weeks, so now I can hurry up and do it before I go into the session, you know. But it helps you grow, and I like to titrate people off, and then they'll come in the summer, like once a month maybe, and then when school starts, maybe, hey, let's start back, because this will happen over the week, you know, over the weekend. This will happen over the break. So it's not, now some therapists will, and I know a couple of them, but I can't think of which Lee or Michael, they do see people on a weekly basis, and we all do, but I don't know how they titrate off. They may titrate after 6, they might titrate after 4, but the goal is not to, for your whole career while you're here, is to see someone every week unless you need to. If you have GAD, which is generalized anxiety disorder, or post-traumatic stress disorder, you may need to see someone 8 times straight in a row, then see them every other week, and then see them once a month. So it's really different for each person.
So it sounds really customizable to whatever it is that you need to work on.
And that is the truth. Yes.
So I am absolutely not knowledgeable in these fields, so I'm excited that you're here so that we can ask these questions. What about people who need medication or may end up needing medication? How does that happen?
Ta-dum, ta-da. That was the question that we started off talking about in the beginning. Well, wait a minute. It says you need a referral, but you don't need a referral. Referral, no referral. What's the answer on here? I have it pulled up on here.
So 2 birds, 1 stone.
Right. If you need medication, you know, Dr. Wertman, Dr. Thomas, and myself, we don't write the script, of course. That's where 2 people come in that are really key. But then there's other people that come in also. I'll tell you about the 2 people first. First, there's Dr. Bass. She's our psychiatrist. Now, if we work, like we're working for the 4 weeks or the 3 weeks, and then you start to not see a change, you can't sleep, your eating is off, you know, you're nippy at everybody, you just aren't yourself, or you can't get out of bed, or you're just off the wall, and you haven't even had coffee. After 4 sessions, you know, 4 weeks, okay. Or maybe sometimes 6 weeks, it just depends. Then you get a referral to one of the psychiatrists. Now, the on-campus psychiatrist is Dr. Allison Bass, and you do need a referral from one of us or Dr. Winters. Now, that's how you would get medication generally. The other way, if you have generalized anxiety disorder, mild anxiety, test anxiety, you can also get a script for general things like that. If you need, you know, Wellbutrin, Lexapro, which are, you know, drugs that help you with relaxation and drugs that help you with depression, you can get those from Dr. Winters. Now, if the case, like you can still see Dr. Winters, you know, and 15-minute appointments or the 30-minute sessions if you take 2, and she'll monitor you. Well, how's that going? How's that, you know, Lexapro going? How's that antidepressant going? Not change it at all. And so if she notices that, she said, well, I'm going to go ahead and refer you to Dr. Bass, and she's going to give you a combination. You know, you may need a combination. You may need some Abilify or some Baltz, or you may need something else to add on to it. So you do need a referral if you're going to go to Dr. Bass. You do not need a referral to go to Dr. Winters. And if it's a mild case of whatever it is, it could be PMDD, you know, it could be, which is premenstrual, used to be, you know, if you're like the bear around that time, you know, she can prescribe you a nice little anti-anxiety or something to take, and therapy. She will tell you, and you probably need to be in therapy. Now, interesting that you asked that question, because there's 3 modes. There's, you know, bottom down stuff, which is us talking about it. And that's one form of therapy. You know, the one that I use is bottom down and top up. Bottom up is first, because that teaches you how to breathe. It teaches you where you notice the pain in, if you have anxiety, if you have things going on, because whatever manifests up here, it's going to show up in your body. So the 2 go together. Now, the 3rd layer is the medication layer. That, so top down is talking about it and what you think and, you know, all of that. The bottom up is what you feel. And that's, you know, most of your body language is how we express ourselves more so. Someone saying, yeah, I like you. I really like you. And then they're like all excited and everything. It's like, wait a minute, those 2 don't mix. So top down, bottom up. And then medication is the 3rd layer. Sorry, she might call me.
It's a nice ringtone, though. I like it.
Thanks.
Joyous, I feel like. Let's say you needed some other medication then, and you got a referral from either, if I get this right, Dr. Winters or one of you guys as the therapist. You can get a referral to Dr. Bass. Is that correct so far?
Yep, you got it.
So do you have to go see Dr. Bass? Is that another appointment where she talks to you?
Yes. Yep. Okay. So you go in, and because she's the psychiatrist, she does a whole different, what do you call it? She does a whole different, she does, well, the same interview that we do, but then she goes in a little bit more detail. And then she talks a little bit about what type of medications that you've ever been on. She does the thorough history like we do. So we do a history taking just like she does. And then she may or may not prescribe you medication that day. She'll talk about different medications that you would need. And that would be Dr. Winters too. The other way that you need a referral is we have off-campus therapists and psychiatrists. Now, the blue sheet or the sheet that's on the website, it says off-campus therapists. You can go to those therapists. You don't need a referral at all for those, but the only organization that you would need a referral for would be behavioral medicine. And we refer people to them, and they're an organization that we use. And we refer, like if you had an eating disorder, they specialize in that. If you wanted to go to a dialectical behavior therapy, another acronym, and it helps with structure and it helps with people with ingrained patterns, like a bipolar, a borderline personality disorder, or, you know, paranoid personality disorder. There's different treatments. And so they have like 15 counselors. We have the three counselors. Now, what if our schedules don't mix? You can't see Remichael, you can't see Lee, you can't see me. Sometimes you can see the off-campus therapist, and they're listed on the website, and you don't need a referral. You do not need a referral. Now, remember, I already told you, the one that you would need a referral for would be the psychiatrist. The off-campus psychiatrist and the on-campus psychiatrist you need a referral for. Those are the individuals. That's why that sentence is, you don't need a referral, but you need a referral. Oh, let's see. I can't hear you.
You're right. I muted myself and I forgot to unmute. So what would be the difference between, or why choose on-campus versus off-campus? Is it really just scheduling only? Maybe you mm-hmm. want to leave and not be on-campus?
Well, scheduling, and then some people really are like, I don't want anybody on campus to see me walking around and going in that area. But I tell you, we're on the first floor of the 4525 Scott building. Nobody's down there. It's a radiology building. So that's why we're separate, you know, because you can just walk down the hall and then go into our office. Nobody even knows that there are radiologists walking around. And, you know, they're looking at, you know, stuff. They
they've got x-rays just all the time, right?
They don't even know they were there. They and it's so funny when I started, because I'm a people person, I'm like, hello, and then everybody's looking at me like, what's wrong with her? It's because I didn't know that was the thing, that you walk around the campus and you don't say anything. You know, everybody's like into their thoughts and their research and stuff, but now everyone's like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, oh. So it switched. We reversed roles. But yeah, it's pretty private on our floor. And our waiting room has like 4 or 5 seats. And so you may or may not see someone, but you don't have to say anything to them. It's just like the waiting office at the dentist or wherever else you go. You don't really, I'm here because I have depression. I mean, you're not going to disclose your information unless you want to. And you do run into, sometimes, but not typically. You may see someone on campus, but they're there too. So it's funny. You're there, they're there. You just act like you don't see each other. And that rarely happens. It really happens. But that could happen off campus as well. But you have the freedom to see people on campus and then off campus.
And is the cost the same between on and off campus?
Yeah. So if you see, and it's so expensive. Oh my God, wait till I tell you how much it is. Oh my God. So the first session is always free. It's free because you're doing an assessment. We're just checking what you need. The appointments after that are $10. So it's $10 a session. $10, you know, and we know that's unheard of, because, you know, typically in the private practice, it's between, you know, $150 and $200. And then, you know, a person may pay copay. So they may pay $50 and their insurance pays the rest, just like going to your physician. But $10 is the copay that they would charge you that off campus. If you go see one of those therapists, and then we also, the three of us or the four of us actually, when you see us, each session is $10. So that's ingrained into your insurance already. Pretty good deal.
That seems a good deal to me.
It is.
So what does an appointment kind of look like or feel like? I mean, I feel like every time I hear about or see anything related to therapy, it is the couch. It's always the couch scene.
I know.
Right? And like, how do you feel about your mother, right? And it's like, I don't know. What is real therapy like? Not TV therapy.
It really is. So, yeah, TV therapy is so weird. But it's so good. Some of those shows are so good. I'm like, oh, man. I like Dr. Bull. He's my favorite. But anyway. So what it is, it's about each appointment is about 50 minutes. So the initial one, we come in, you come in, hi, how are you? How are you? How are you? We say it about 3 or 4 times. And then,
to make it really nice and awkward.
Once we figure out everybody's okay and everything's all right, what brought you in today? My question is, why now? Why did you make the appointment now? And since you made the appointment, what has changed? So that would be the initial thing. The why now is really important because that's your motivation for treatment. That's your motivation for being here. We do a questions on how are you sleeping? How are you eating? How many siblings do you have? Are your parents still married? Are you adopted? Were you in foster care? Have you had any accidents? Have you had any hospitalizations? Have you had any traumas? What's your schedule like at school? Are you having any difficulty? So we do a quick down and dirty on what's going on with your life now. Then we ask you about past. You know, if it's related, say you came in because you broke up with your boyfriend, or you came in because of you lost your mom or you lost your dad. These are all things that occur because you're here for a long period of time. So you're going to experience a lot of different things. We get the general history. We get a medical history. Have you had any operations? You know, are you on any medication? Have you been on any medication? Have you had any hospitalizations for any psychiatric care? You know, when was the last time you saw a therapist? What worked in therapy? What did not work in therapy? What would you like to work on today? Today, what would you like to work on? What do you want your goals to be? We write down the goals, and then I think for a few minutes, or the therapist thinks for a few minutes. You know, I have this therapy, and it's called cognitive behavioral therapy. I have this therapy, and it's called narrative therapy. I have this therapy, and here's a sheet on it. I'd like you to look at it and see what you think. Would that be something that you'd be interested in working on? And one of the things that I help people do, and all of us do, is we make sure that you have a self-care plan. I give people what's called a self-care wheel, and we look at the wheel. We look at what do you need to make your life different than if you're not happy or if you're not productive or you're not whatever it is. What do you need to be doing? Oh, and so you look on there and you pick out, I need to meditate like 5 minutes each day. I need to just take time to myself. I need to go walking. I need to drink a little bit more Kool-Aid with lemon in it, you know.
Mm. That still looks so good.
It is. Very Kool-Aid with lemon is the best. I prescribe that for it.
And then there's your self-care.
You put it in the blender with 2 cups of ice and it makes a slushy.
Oh, you have got my number.
I didn't have time before this, but I would have done that. I would have been like.
Just with a straw, like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you set up times. We set up times that are the best. Okay, what's your day that's the best? And you guys have the craziest schedule. And I do want to say, you can take time out of the lab to come to your therapy session. A, nobody knows. B, nobody's caring. They're not looking at what you're doing, you know. And then the third thing is that you deserve it. If you have something that's bothering you, why be in pain? If you had, you know, a thorn sticking in your hand, you would keep working on that to get it out. You know, mental health is the same way. If you're depressed, you're not eating, you know, and you just need something, you want something, you just can't figure it out, just come and we'll help you do that. But you deserve that, your work. And the thing is, you can't do your work like you need to and want to do your work if you keep coming up against this thing, whatever it is. You know, you might be worried about your parents. You may be taking care of an elderly parent and going to school. You may be, you know, we could give you tips on all of that. And the thing to remember is that you deserve it. You deserve to be happy and not in pain. Some people suffer needlessly because of embarrassment or shame or guilt or fear. And those are all things that we all experience. But we used to say, oh, just pick up that 200-pound phone and call us, you know. But now just type those, you know, move those frozen fingers and just email us. And what is it going to hurt? You figure out, oh, no, I can't see that Dr. Smith. She's crazy. I don't want to see her. Who, anybody else? That's fine. See somebody. You know, if you need our help, we're here for you.
Yeah, that it's really important, guys. Like, it is absolutely important. You don't need to solve your problems on your own. You're not equipped to do it. And that's the point of therapy, is that therapists are equipped to help you work through the issues. And I highly recommend it, because when you don't, it's really painful. And like Dr. Smith says, it's kind of needless, because a lot of it can be managed and until you can find kind of a comfortable place of being, right?
True. Yeah, that's it. A comfortable place of being. And we all need that.
Yeah. And of course, we can't necessarily fix problems, right? If there's loss, you can't fix that. But if you can find a comfortable state of being, that new present. And kind of related to COVID, right? We're all feeling a loss. Like we are literally all in a trauma and loss scenario right now. Are the appointments in person right now, or are they phone or video? Can you pick and choose?
No, they're video. I mean, for me, they're video, because I want to see your shiny face. And it's, but I don't think the other therapists are doing phone anymore. We're all doing video. Telehealth is, it's so funny. I used to do telehealth years ago, and then up until now, my friends are like, oh God, that's so weird. Why are you doing that? That's so weird. And now they're like, yes, I'm doing telehealth. Everybody's doing telehealth to keep you safe and to keep us safe. So you can imagine, our offices are not that big. They're very small. And so they're probably not going to bring us on campus until probably last, because I've done EMDR, I've done just talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, and it's a one-on-one. There's no one there. I have people, are you in a safe environment? I have them show me their room, that they're in, that they are safe, and that there's no one else involved that doesn't need to be involved, because that could be a problem. And a lot of times, I will be honest with you, students are at home, or they're somewhere where they can't be, they go in their car.
Mm.
Video can show in their car. You need privacy. You need privacy, and not whispering, talking like this in the camera. You know, it doesn't work, because it's like, it's so distracting. So, you know, we're all video now. So it's telehealth. There's two. We use Zoom calls. And then if that's acting up or something is weird, I use a thing called Doxy, and it's HIPAA compliant. Both of them are HIPAA compliant, and no one can hack them, because on the Zoom, we have the HIPAA compliant one, and you need a password to get in, and we set the appointment up, and we see you, we start, we initiate it, and if it's like messing up the internet or whatever, we go to what's called Doxy. And so you can't really use Doxy unless you get an invitation, because it's a HIPAA compliant and therapist for therapists. But online, you see the square, I see you, you see me, and we kind of assess for safety. And then the paperwork, if there's there is paperwork to do, it's the initial assessment. I'll either email it to you, and then you can email it back, or, you know, pretty simple. But yeah, it's online, just like this is.
And while the squares are not the best, they are great for right now.
Yes, they are. They are. They really are. And, you know, I'm kind of used to the squares, because we used them in the military. We were in Guam, and we were in other places, and the closest hospital was like Hawaii. Sometimes we would use telephonic, or we'd have a video group. And so I was kind of used to it. So it's not intimidating or weird at all. But after this, we all are experts in Zoom. I know you guys are, you have had, and you will have so many Zooms that, you'll wish you had stock in Zoom. I wish I did have stock in Zoom. Remember, we used to talk about that Zoom stuff. That's so weird, you know, and now it's just a way of life for all of us.
Yeah, I really question how GoToMeeting is not doing as well as Zoom, because my old companies used to all use GoToMeeting, but.
Well, a lot of them still are. I'm on insurance panels, and so I get a lot of requests for workshops, a lot of stuff on racial now and optimism, and they're all GoToMeeting. So I don't
really.
Yeah, I prefer Zoom. So yeah, but a lot of the companies are using GoToMeeting.
Okay, so they're still in use in business industries.
Well,
then.
The other one is, it's not GoToMeeting. It's a WebEx or Web something. Web something.
Web something.
Yeah, they're doing it. It's Might as well be Zoom.
Yeah. So let's see, I feel like we've covered most everything. It is 3:21. So is there anything else that you'd like to share that maybe I didn't think to ask, or anything you want to say to DBBS grad students?
Just make an appointment if you think you have an issue, and especially if you were seeing a therapist before. If you want to see a therapist now to follow up, just come in, tell us what it is that you need, and we can follow up with what was going on with your other therapist, or we can start new with a fresh issue. And no issue is too small or no issue is too big. It's all important because it's you. It really is. Yeah, it was something else I was going to say, but I think that was mainly what came out. So that's what I wanted to say. Yeah, I'm glad that, you know, that you guys came to just listen. My birthday is Sunday, so I've been trying to wait to get my hair done because it's actually birthday month. So it's birthday month. And then this weekend is birthday weekend. And then great. Sunday will be birthday day. And next week is birthday after birthday week. So, you know.
I am adopting this in my house forever. It has to be that.
You have to. And I mean, I haven't bought extravagant gifts for myself every day, but I've just done something that I like to do, something special. You know, I ate some Nutella on a croissant, you know, and that was so good. That was my treat. And tonight it goes, and maybe margaritas, I don't know. But instead of the Kool-Aid, I put margarita mix in it. And so we have to. And so every day something, because, you know, because I have gratitude, thank God I'm alive, that I'm here, and that just want to have a good time. You know, of course, we're socially distancing. It's just me and my boyfriend. We're not going to have like a wild woo-wee party, but just two people. Probably watch Hamilton again. You know, it was so good. We'll have to see it again.
Look at you doing some self-care there.
I know.
All those little self-care acts.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
They add up. It's kind of like I had a talk about retirement savings recently, and I'm working on something for grad students to talk about retirement.
Oh, good. Good.
Oh, it's so important. I'm much older than most other grad students, so it's something that I've been working on for a while, but just a little bit, even a little bit counts. Any self-care, any little bit that you add to your retirement savings, in the end, it still counts. So don't feel like doing $20 a month is insignificant, right? If you do that one pina colada a week or something, that if that is your self-care, it adds up and it helps.
It is. That's the truth, you know? It is. I know now because I'm like saving up. You know, and I can't wait to get my little, well, I retired, not early. I retired after 27 years in the military. And so, you know, you can't wait to get that pension, you know, but it all matters. Think about now so that you can, you know, look way over there and say, And in today's world, you do want to be safe. You do want to save up your money. They tell you save up, 3 to 5 months of salary. And it takes a while to get to that point. It may take you 3 years to get to save up that, but you have a cushion in case something like a pandemic occurs and things change. You matter. You really do matter. That one thing every day, it makes a difference.
And just like thinking about the future for financial security, you should think about the future with your mental health. Right? If you want to see yourself down the road doing something amazing, the best thing you can do is take care of yourself today.
I love it.
And that's what I hope you all were able to gather from today's Petri dish. If you have more questions for Dr. Smith, I assume they can email you anytime.
They can. You know, always, you know, I got my little pink phone and ready. You know,
she literally had it already. She just, you know, for those of you listening in the future, she just like, boom, it was there. It was bedazzled and everything. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was perfect. And it's there. So if you have more questions, even if it's not to make the appointment, but you just want to ask another question about therapy, ask her, ask any of the other therapists. You can email me if you're afraid. I'll forward the email and be your proxy and send it back to you. I don't care, but what I hope the Petri dish is able to do for everyone is to help you in some way, whatever that way is. And yeah. I think that's absolutely what therapy is for anyway. So reach out and ask. And I say that this at the end of every Petri dish, if there's somebody that you'd like to talk to, send them the email. Because I have emailed every single person to be the guest on this Petri dish, and every single person has responded yes. Wow. Whether they are a WashU faculty or staff or someone outside of the school. Every single person has enjoyed coming on, helping, answering questions, and helping future, you know, PhD students and candidates. Yeah. And so take the plunge. Email is not that scary. What's the worst thing that can happen? They either say no or they don't respond. Well, boo-hoo, you know? Mm-hmm. You can do it. So send that email.
I love it.
All right, everyone. Thank you again. Have a happy Friday. Try to get outside, but bring water with you. It is hot, according to Dr. Smith. I'm about to go.
Don't go.
Don't go out. Just stay inside where there's AC. I'm about to head to lab. I hope everyone has a great rest of the weekend. Again, contact anybody at any time.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for asking me.